left the sanctuary. And so this morning, especially on this Children's Sabbath, it is good to welcome Callie to the pulpit.
May the words I speak be those you want spoken. May the words we hear be those you want heard. May we live to your glory. Amen. Today, I would like to talk about otherness. Otherness is the quality or act of being different. Every one of us has our own unique life narrative. We live our lives from our own perspectives. Some people we encounter live lives that look similar to ours. They might have similar family structures, skin color, religious beliefs, educational opportunities, and other life experiences that are similar to our own. So we might think of those people as being like us. But when we encounter people who do not share these distinct similarities or shared understandings with us, they fall under the category of other. My senior year of college, I had the opportunity to spend 4 months studying abroad in India. I got to travel around the country with 15 students from my college and a professor. Now, the height of the average Indian woman is 5 feet tall. So needless to say, as a 5'11" white blonde female, I stood out. Our group visited some remote villages where the residents had never seen white people before. We got our pictures taken a lot by complete strangers. We were a minority, and yet we were treated almost like celebrities. During my time abroad, I was still living my life from my own perspective. And so even in that country of over 1 billion people, to me, everyone else was still the other, at least initially. You see, what changed is I really got to know the people that I met. I got to hear their stories. I got to meet their families. I got to visit their homes. I got to visit their temples and celebrate their holidays and their traditions with them. I got to learn about their lives. Getting to know other people's lives, other people's narratives, is what helped to break down that barrier of otherness. As children, we are taught to recognize things that are different. As kids grow, later on in the schoolyard, difference is often synonymous with weakness. And this can become a cause of teasing or bullying. We learn to seek out those who are like us. We find acceptance from them. And it is easier for us to extend that same acceptance to those that we think are like us. It's because we fear the unknown, and it causes anxiety and feelings of separation. And yet, our society is organized by this otherness, particularly on matters of wealth, religion, sexuality, and political views. The church is a place where we are constantly looking to challenge that paradigm, and it stems back to Jesus. In our gospel text today, Jesus is asked, "Who are my neighbors?" Jesus' response to this question is to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus describes the Samaritan as being a neighbor because of his act of compassion. In the Spark Story Bible, which is the Bible that our kids use in Sunday school, the text says, "Jesus told him, 'God wants us to help everyone. People of every size, shape, and color, and from every country are important to God. Now go and be like the Samaritan and help everyone who needs help.'" Our ability to be a neighbor is not limited by geography. It can only be limited by the compassion that we show to others. Jesus didn't seek out those who were like him or those who were close by to show love to. He sought out people he didn't know. He sought out the sick, the imperfect, the broken sinners. Jesus sought the others. Jesus was their neighbor because he showed compassion. Last week, I got to experience my own Good Samaritan story. I was at the grocery store with my two young children and had just finished loading the last of our groceries into the car and my kids into their car seats when I was approached by a woman in the parking lot. She asked me if I had any money that I could spare because she was hungry and just wanted to go get something to eat. For a moment, I considered maybe giving her something out of one of my own shopping bags or giving her a small amount of money so that she could go buy herself a meal. But I decided that there wasn't enough dignity in that. The more compassionate option I saw in the moment was to get my children back out of their car seats, put aside my worries about the frozen food in the car that was starting to thaw, and go into the grocery store with the woman. I handed her a shopping basket and told her to fill it with whatever she needed. I couldn't fix her situation, but I could offer compassion to that woman. And I hope in that moment I was being her neighbor. My children also got to witness that. As we waited for the woman to gather her groceries, I explained to my kids what we were doing and why we were doing it. I told them what it means to be blessed. And I told them how very blessed they are to have everything they need. My children have never had to question where their next meal comes from. When they are hungry, they always have food to eat. When they are cold, they have an abundance of clothes to wear. When they are hurt or scared, they know that their mom and their dad will be there for them. Sadly, this is not the case for all children. Today we are observing Children's Sabbath. Children's Sabbath is a way for communities to celebrate children as sacred gifts from God and to provide the opportunity for places of worship to renew and live out their moral responsibility to care, protect, and advocate for all children. This celebration is part of a larger children's movement that aims to unite communities and religious congregations of faith all across the nation in a shared concern for children and a common commitment to improving their lives and working for justice on their behalf. This year's celebration theme is called Children of Promise, Closing Opportunity Gaps. And it focuses on closing opportunity gaps due to poverty and lack of access to high-quality early childhood development and high-quality education so that every child can reach their God-given potential. For that to happen, we as people of faith need to stand tall within our communities and push our nation to keep our promises of love and justice, equality, and dignity for all. To help close this gap, we need to break the barrier of otherness. In addition to tearing down the walls that divide us, we must also celebrate our oneness. We need to build relationships of unity and love. We need to hear the narratives of others and attempt to see the world through their eyes. We need to start seeing everyone as a beloved child of God. In our Sunday school, we're working hard to break these barriers of otherness. But I'm going to be honest with you, we still have some work to do. Our Sunday school has a remarkable split of both white European and West African students. It's about a 50-50 split. So last week I asked the teachers for some examples of how this idea of oneness both is and isn't happening inside of their classrooms. One teacher responded by saying, "When youth come into the room, there is a distinct separation as to where they are seated. I see this in worship, too. Once everyone has chosen their spot, the first time they come, they migrate to that spot time and time again. African children on one side and everyone else on the other. But I try to mix them up for our lessons." Another teacher spoke of the community differences she sees. She said, "The African community are very connected to one another, and the older children are much more involved with the younger ones." Now, I would like to make it very clear that differences are a good thing, and they should be celebrated. We are not all the same, and that should not be our goal. Our goal, instead, is to have an understanding of one another. And while we might not have that perfect understanding yet, we're getting there. We're getting there just by being present together. We're getting there by sharing personal facts and stories about ourselves. We're getting there when both white and African students play soccer together after worship. We're getting there by learning the Bible stories together. By hearing these stories together and making them our own, we are building a shared foundation. It takes small steps like these to dismantle the walls of otherness that divide us. Every time we focus on our oneness, like when we commune together as a whole church, or when we worship together with New Creation, we are being the church and sharing in our mission together. We're all tasked with the same goals: to help everyone, people of every size, shape, and color from every country, to go and be like the Samaritan, and to help everyone who needs help. By encouraging opportunities of oneness, we are building understanding and our compassion for one another. We are practicing being neighbors to one another. So as you go out into the world today, I would like you to ask yourself how you are being an example to the children of this congregation and to the children of the world. How are you helping to bridge the gap that divides us? How are you being a neighbor to others? Now go and be like the Samaritan and help everyone who needs help. Amen.